This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support.
Mike Adams.
Well, what happened to the search for the cure? What happened to raising all the money for pink ribbons, Susan Komen? People, it's all BS.
The Health Ranger Report.
They don't want a cure. They don't want to even prevent it. They want more people to have cancer because that's how they make money.
It's time for the Health Ranger Report.
The Health Ranger Report.
And now from naturalnews.com, here's Mike Adams.
You know, when the collapse occurs, whatever form it may take, the pharmacies are one of the first places that's going to get hit by looters and opportunists and anyone, frankly, who is, you know, looking for a quick way to find something they can barter and who has, I guess, no ethics. But you can expect the pharmacies are going to be wiped out because we've got so many people dependent on pharmaceuticals in this country, including many prescription opioids, you know, prescription painkillers. That is an enormous problem in society that very few people are talking about. How many addicts we have on prescription medications who are going to be out of the loop when the supply lines break down. Now, just as a brief background to all of this, and thanks for joining me today. This is Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, healthrangerreport.com. There are many different scenarios that could lead to a breakdown in the logistics supply of pharmaceuticals. Obviously, we've got war, nuclear war, EMP attack, nuclear accident, natural disasters, even something like a solar flare, a coronal mass ejection, CME, or asteroid impact anywhere on the planet. A supervolcano goes off like Yellowstone. There's a long list of things that could happen that could be very disruptive to the pharmaceutical supply. So there are two points I want to make in this podcast. Number one, if you're currently taking pharmaceuticals, if you're going to be fully prepared, you need to think about a way, if possible, to get off of those pharmaceuticals so that you no longer are dependent upon them. This is especially true if they are painkillers. And secondly, as a citizen who is attempting to, you know, protect and defend your own life and defend your family, perhaps your household community, you need to be aware of how desperate people are going to become in their search for medications and what they're willing to do to get them. Because the bottom line is that these people, at some point, people are willing to kill in order to get their meds. They're willing to kill. So you don't want to be seen as, you know, a place that has medications. You don't want to be known as someone who has a pharmacy or is connected to a pharmacy or is a pharmacist with a key to the pharmacy or anything like that. So these are the two points to keep in mind. So let's start with the first one. Number one, if you're currently on prescription medications that you can get off of, then find a way to do so. Now, I know it's not possible in every single case. You might have maybe a thyroid, maybe you've lost your thyroid or it was surgically removed or burned out with radiation and you need Synthroid medication in order to function. I get that. I'm not saying that you can get off of that medication. It's not possible in every case. I don't know a natural alternative to insulin, for example. So if you are insulin dependent, you might need insulin. However, there are many cases and a surprising number of cases where you can get off the meds by changing your lifestyle so that you no longer cause the conditions that require the medications. This is true in a shocking number of cases where people are pursuing a lifestyle. Let's say your typical type 2 diabetic. They're eating ice cream, they're eating donuts and sugar all day long and fried foods, and they have diabetes because of their diet. So then they're taking diabetes medications, you know, blood sugar lowering meds essentially, because they're eating so much sugar every day. Now, if they changed their diet and stopped eating a pro-diabetes diet, they would no longer need the meds. And those are the kinds of cases that I'm talking about where if you can get off the meds by changing your diet and changing your lifestyle, you should really think about taking steps to do so because you won't be able to get those meds. And in a collapse, you won't be able to have the comfort of weaning yourself off of those meds, you know, gradually. You're going to have no meds cold turkey, and that's a very difficult way to stop taking a medication. And in some cases, it can even be dangerous, such as if you're taking antidepressant drugs. Now, by the way, as an overlay to all this, just a side note, I always encourage you to work with a naturopathic physician. I encourage you to get expert medical assistance and a diagnosis of you and your particular health challenges or conditions or what have you. I don't say just do all this by yourself and wing it. I say get some expert medical help from people who know this stuff. Ideally, you'd like a naturopath who is informed about medications and their side effects, as well as holistic health and disease prevention and nutrition and so on. That's the best combination for if you're trying to get off meds. You need somebody who is familiar with the meds and what they do and what their side effects are. Now, for the second part of this, which is really the bigger part of this discussion, it's all about how crazy people will get when they want to get their meds because they're addicted to opioids, let's say, or they need certain prescriptions like insulin, for example. You take a father who, let's say, has a 13-year-old daughter who is type 1 diabetes, insulin dependent for life, and that father, what would he be willing to do to save the life of his daughter? And the answer is almost anything, right? Almost any father would do almost anything to save the life of his daughter. Would he steal? Would he steal insulin out of a pharmacy to save his daughter's life? Yes, absolutely. Would he threaten somebody with a weapon to take their insulin? Maybe. Some people wouldn't, but some people would. Would he kill somebody to get the insulin? Well, hopefully most people wouldn't, but there are still some who would. And that's my point here. You could be, if you are seen as a source of any of these medications or a source to who has access to a pharmacy, you could be seen as someone worthy of hijacking, let's say, or kidnapping or coercing in some way in order for this person to get the medications that they need for their family or themselves or someone that they're working for. Who knows? So if that's the case, you need to have a means of self-defense. And this is a universal truth when it comes to preparedness and the collapse of societies and how cities will become death traps. I've talked about that before in other podcasts, but cities are the most dangerous place. No matter what is going down, you need to have a means of self-defense. And the best available tool today for self-defense is, of course, a firearm. And as far as I'm concerned, the best tool for most people to start with in terms of a firearm is a Glock 19, which is a 9mm concealable handgun. It's on the smaller side, but not the smallest. It's not a subcompact. I think it's just considered a compact Glock. It's got a double stack magazine, so it's kind of wide. For some people, if you're a small person, you might want to go with the single stack Glocks, which I think is the Glock, 43, I think is the model number for that. In any case, you need to think about having a firearm to defend yourself against aggressors who might be coming after you for your medication. Really, seriously. This is not an exaggeration or hyperbole. In a collapse environment, if people know that you have meds, if people know that you're on, I don't know, hydrocodone or one of the popular fentanyl, I think that's an opioid, right? Fentanyl. I don't know what all the drugs are, but there's a bunch of them out there. If you're on any of these drugs, or even on things like Abilify or these SSRI drugs that people snort, they crush them up and they snort them for binge studying at the universities and things like that, right? People do crazy stuff with these drugs. But if you are known as someone who has these drugs, then you need to take steps, I believe, to defend yourself, to defend your person and your safety and your home property against aggressors. And you should have a firearm anyway. If it's legal, obviously, in your area, but you should have a firearm anyway, and not just one. You know, what do you do if that firearm jams and you can't clear the jam? You should have a backup firearm. So, and frankly, you should have a rifle, but that's another podcast. You should, depending on where you live, you know, if you can get one, you should have one. Because you're looking at the polite side of humanity right now. When you look at the way people behave, you know, in a grocery store, people standing in line, people taking their turns, you know, it's a relatively polite society because, you know, people can call 911, call the cops. Cops will show up, deal with the issue, maybe issue an arrest or something. People are polite when society is under control. The minute society breaks down, all of a sudden that politeness goes out the window. Now, I've talked to people, I've had a philosophical discussion with people who think that they say, well, humanity is basically good people. People are good-hearted at heart, you know. They're basically positive people who are going to help humanity. In a crisis, they band together, they hold hands, and they sing Kumbaya, and they help each other out. Okay, I agree, I've seen some examples of that. But I've seen way more examples of people breaking down, throwing politeness out the window, and turning into animals. Way more examples of that. And in a collapse type of scenario where people are suddenly desperate for their medications or desperate for money to buy medications, the politeness goes out the window. They become, you know, there's no more ethics or morality in society. They become a danger to law-abiding citizens because law is thrown out the window, in essence. People just ignore the rule of law and do whatever the hell they want or whatever they think they need to do in order to, you know, save the life of their daughter, let's say, or save their own life, or get out of pain, or treat their addiction. And which brings me to the point that it is the recreational addicts who can often be the most dangerous. Now, my heart goes out to a lot of addicts who are struggling with this. They've been caught up in this. And some addicts are pursuing treatment and working on recovery and working on personal development to get out of that. And, you know, I've got a soft spot in my heart for people who have been caught up in toxic drugs and are trying to get out of it. And, you know, good on them if they're trying to heal and trying to get out of it. But on the flip side of that, addicts can be the most dangerous and most animalistic people in society because they are almost by definition, if they're on all these drugs, they are deranged. They are mentally deranged. And they're willing to do almost anything and to get more drugs. And this is why most of the crime in a lot of rural towns across America, most of the crime is druggies stealing from druggies or druggies robbing druggies. It's drug-on-drug crime. Because people are going where they think they can get their hands on more drugs, whether it's meth or heroin or, I don't know, fentanyl, I guess. Or whatever people use these days. Cocaine, maybe. I don't know. What's that? Crocodile? What's that stuff? Turns your skin into like a crocodile? Is that a form of meth or something? Anyway, we've covered some of this on National News, so I've seen some articles on some of the various crazy, insane drugs that people take, but it's a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, stuff you wouldn't even believe, like people combining heroin with human blood and shooting up like a blood heroin high. Weird. Like, weird vampire druggy addict stuff. I'm like, what? What? Yeah, people do that. I don't get it. No, I don't ask me. I have no idea who got that idea. That doesn't make any sense, but shooting up blood and heroin, give me a break. These people are insane, right? I mean, when they're on the drugs, and because sometimes they're on the drugs and they have like superhuman strength or they have immunity to pain, you know, like PCP. They get on PCP or I don't know what else is out there that does that to you. I obviously need to brush up on all the recreational drug side effects because I don't really know, but I know there are drugs that turn people into like human combat machines where you can shoot them 5 or 10 times and they don't even know it. They just keep charging you, you know, unless you hit them in the pelvis or something to actually break a support structure where they fall to the ground, which by the way is one reason why a lot of tactical handgun training guys will teach you to shoot for the pelvis. That's not a joke. I'm serious about that. You know, at first for the beginners, they say aim for center mass, but if you get into more advanced courses, they're like, shoot the pelvis because that'll take them down. You know, they fall. They physically, you know, succumb to the gravity without the pelvis. So in any case, I don't mean to get too anatomical here and gross about all of this. I'm just saying that you got to be aware of these dangers, that there are crazy druggies who may be on drugs and looking for more drugs and willing to steal, kill, do anything that it takes. And frankly, you know, I mentioned the Glock 19. The Glock 19 is not a very good weapon to stop these kind of people. You can hammer these people with a whole magazine of 9mm rounds, and they may not stop. Seriously. Talk to cops. I mean, really, talk to cops about this. Ask them, how many rounds does it take to bring down somebody who's on these drugs? And there are stories out there of cops that have put, you know, dozens of rounds into people, and the people keep charging because they're using 9mm rounds. They don't do that much damage, believe it or not. And, you know, it's not like on TV where it's one shot, one kill. You know, somebody gets shot with one round and they just fall to the ground and die in 5 seconds. It's nothing like that. That's BS. Doesn't work that way. So a lot of cops prefer to carry a 40 cal weapon, a 40 caliber being, you know, significantly larger, more mass, more energy, kinetic energy than a 9mm round. And then, of course, the old school cops will carry a 45 caliber, which is a very, very high power round that has a lot of kinetic energy and a lot of stopping power. But it's also harder to control, and it's harder to aim correctly because there's such a kickback on the gun that it's a little bit intimidating for people to hold on to it and aim it correctly. You tend to try to overcompensate for the reaction, and it throws your aim off. But I like to carry the 40 cal. Personally, I think that's a great choice, kind of a happy middle ground between all of this. But as most self-defense experts will tell you, the whole point of having a pistol is just so you can make it to your rifle. There, with your rifle, you might have some 5.56 rounds. You know, like sometimes called 223. That's the imperial system, 0.223. But in metric, it's a 5.56 millimeter diameter bullet. And that has a lot of kinetic energy behind it, even though it's a small diameter bullet. It's got a lot more energy, and that has more stopping power. But in any case, you need to defend yourself. You need to think seriously about these topics. You don't have to be pro-gun. You don't have to be a gun nut. You don't have to be into guns at all. You just have to be interested in protecting your life and understanding how the medication supply chain breaking down is going to turn people into crazy, like zombie, lunatic type of individuals in some cases. And they're going to come after you. They're going to want to, take your stuff, hijack you, steal from you, and so on. That side of humanity is in there, and it's going to come out. I'm telling you, you want to know the truth about humanity? Do a ride along with a street cop. Seriously, I've done those. Oh man, you will learn how dark and messed up humanity really is. You will lose faith in humanity if you do a ride along with a beat cop on a couple of nights, like in an inner city. And you get to hear some of the domestic disputes that they have to deal with, you will lose faith in humanity. Trust me. You will have to recalibrate your entire understanding of what you thought was out there. And any cop, any street cop like that will tell you they are barely keeping it under control. They just barely have a handle on it. If anything goes wrong, if they lose 10% of the police force, it's over. You know, if 10% retire, walk off the job, or go home, it's over. The drug gangs and the criminals just totally take over, and they rampage across the town and do whatever the heck they want because you can't stop them. You're outnumbered. The cops are outnumbered. And there are people out there who will do anything. Some of them are ex-cons. Some of them are, you know, soon-to-be cons. But there are people who will do anything to get their hands on what they want. They will kill, maim, injure, torture, rape, murder, whatever it takes, intimidate. There are some bad, bad people in society right now. And if you don't face up to that, then you're not really, I think, prepared to deal with it. It doesn't mean you have to lose faith in humanity. It doesn't mean you have to treat everybody that way. Obviously, by default, you want to be polite to people. You want to have hope in humanity. I mean, I prefer to believe that most people will be good if given the opportunity. But that's probably a foolish belief, frankly. It's probably a delusion, because the reality is more like, they're going to do whatever they have to do to survive. End of story. It doesn't matter who they harm or who's in the way. You know, that's probably the better, the more accurate reality of the situation. And really, the more desperate the collapse, the more people fall into that darkness and kind of impolite behavior, to put it lightly. All right. Anyway, I think I've made my point. So I just want you to think about these things because, as always, I want you to be safe. If you're the kind of person who listens to my podcast, then you are one of the more important people in society who can help rebuild society after whatever collapse hits us first. And it's important that you survive. You have a duty to survive, not just for yourself, but for the rebuilding of society afterwards, which I hope will be a society that we can make sure is rooted in liberty and due process, free market economy without all the current corruption that we have, smaller government, respect for individual liberty, respect for the law, and so on. So stick around, take care of yourself, be alive, defend yourself so that you can be part of that rebuilding and helping us create a more free, more abundant society in the aftermath of whatever happens first, whatever catalyst comes our way. We have a collective responsibility to be here and help put the pieces back together, and even make a better society than the one that failed us. Because, there's a lot of stuff in current society that doesn't work and that we don't want to repeat, right? We don't want to have like a system where there's pharmaceutical lobbyists running Washington. So let's outlaw that from day one, okay? You and I both, we will call for the outlawing of pharmaceutical lobbying at the legislation level. In any case, I hope you found this useful. Check out my website, survival.news or collapse.news. If you want to stay informed about all the news coverage on the coming collapse. And as it happens, we'll try to cover it as long as we're online. But stay safe. Get yourself a Glock, learn how to use it, and learn how to store it safely, and then be ready to defend your safety, your community, and if it comes to it, your nation. Thank you for listening.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
When it comes to real science behind nutritional supplements and personal care products, even superfoods and nutrients, nobody pays as much attention to what's in your products as we do at healthrangerstore.com. We have an in-house laboratory, ISO accredited. We do mass spec testing for heavy metals, herbicides like glyphosate, bacteria, microbiology testing, including E. coli and salmonella, yeast and mold, and others. We do extensive testing, and we reject 80% of the raw materials lots that we test. And we only use the top 20% that pass our stringent requirements for ultra-clean food, supplements, personal care products, and green living home products like eco-friendly laundry detergent, body soaps, dishwasher detergent, things for your home, things for your body, things that are good for the environment and good for you, and that we can verify through our science. Because our position is we don't trust any supplier of raw materials. We've been in this industry for long enough to know that there's all kinds of organic fraud, counterfeit certifications, fake claims, and just a lack of basic testing out there. Heavy metals inundate the supply of superfoods, and even organics often will contain glyphosate and other toxic herbicides and pesticides. That's why we do this testing. We've learned not to trust any source in the industry, and that it takes determined, consistent testing to produce clean products, and that's why people shop with us. That's why we have over 100,000 customers at healthrangerstore.com who have come to trust us, to trust our lab testing, to know that we provide the world's cleanest foods, supplements, and superfoods using today's best science, the best, the most expensive scientific instruments in the world, triple quad mass spectrometry, ICP-MS for heavy metals analysis. We also have single quad mass specs and other instruments, time of flight, tandem mass spec time of flight instrument, and other things. To get our lab tested products, just go to healthrangerstore.com/science. That's healthrangerstore.com/science. There you'll find hundreds of products that have been laboratory tested, verified for your safety and efficacy and product honesty. Again, that URL, type it into your browser, is healthrangerstore.com/science. We do extensive testing like no one. No one does this, and especially not Amazon, where they sell products that are loaded with toxic lead and high levels of aluminum that are off the charts that you can't even believe. I mean, if you want to eat lead and aluminum, buy supplements from Amazon. But if you want good science-backed clean food and clean supplements, You get that from healthrangerstore.com. That's what people have come to know us for providing, and that's why people keep coming back to us. We are dedicated to this testing, and we continue to make investments in our laboratory facilities to bring you the cleanest, most verified nutritional products in the world. No one else does what we do. No one. We are leading the world in clean food, and you can take advantage of that right now at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I thank you for your support. There's much more to come. The more you support us, the more we can produce content to help educate the world and uplift people through natural solutions based on nutrition and superfoods, disease prevention, cognitive enhancement, anti-aging technology, and much more. Thank you for your support.